Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Get ready for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Well, we're back. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, Sports Talk on a Monday morning. And before we get into some text, did you watch the Country Music Awards last night?
No, I did not, because I like to tape it. Because there's so many commercials during those shows, I like to tape it and then watch it where I can fast forward through the commercial. So I have it available. That's going to be a part of our entertainment later on today.
Is that before or after Wilbon?
No, that'll be after Wilbon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure, because you touted those two guys.
Yeah. No, we watch. No, we don't. I do. I watch Wilbon. I watch the show before it, Around the Horn.
Oh, yeah?
When my
I used to watch it, but I got away from it.
I only watch it when my friend, a longtime sports writer, covered the Memphis team when we played in the ABA, and his name is Woody Page, and Woody is a long, longtime sports announcer, and he's on from time to time.
He used to be a steady guy.
Yeah, yeah, but they've gotten I think
younger.
I was looking for a nice way to say that.
Not a nice way to say that, brother.
So when I see that Woody's on Around the Horn, I watch that. But then I certainly watch Wilbon and Kornheiser. And then we get in, we being my wife and I, we have our personal time together starting after that. And we watch TV together for as long as we can stand each other, and then we go our separate ways.
You dine and dance.
That's exactly
all right. We got a couple great great texts. The first one, a texter, sent us a picture of the sign. You mentioned it at your, I guess it's at in Batavia,
mm-hmm.
that says Batavia, home of Dan Issel. They spelled Issel right. That's good. All-American 69-70. And the texter said, Dan thought you would appreciate seeing this. It hangs in my house. Oh, in his house. He must have stolen it.
He did. I'll give you the whole story.
I want to hear that story. Yeah. You know, my dad and mom, Bob and Cindy Popick, P-O-P-E-C-K.
Yep.
Dad was police chief. Well, you never got in any trouble, so you wouldn't have known him.
No.
For Batavia, no. And great friends with Jeff Shehike?
No, Shelkey.
Shelkey, oh, well.
Jeff has been the mayor of Batavia for about 107 years. So he's he did steal. He did. I'll tell you the story.
Yeah, I want to hear the story.
After I made All-America my junior year, Batavia decided they were going to put up these signs. And so there were like seven roads that led to Batavia. Now, remember, back then, Batavia is like 7,500 people. There's three stoplights in the whole town. And so they put up that sign at each of the entrances to Batavia. They bought seven signs and put them up. And after the first week, there were two left. Somebody had stolen the other five, and I don't have it. My son has one of them. What they did then, so they took down the other two, and they put them in. There were two banks in Batavia, and they put them in the lobby of both banks.
Which bank got your money?
My mother worked at Batavia National, but they put them in the lobby of the two banks. I guess they figured nobody would steal them there. And then when, after a certain amount of time, they gave me one, which my son Scott has in his basement, and that must be the other one that is still left.
Well, the texter also said he attended our basketball camp we had.
Really?
When he was 11 and 12. Yeah. That was now, I'll have to tell you, the part of Dayton I grew up in was lower Dayton View. It's called the Dayton View area. We were in the lower part of it. And they put up a sign that I grew up there, and they were glad that I left. And it's still there. another texter paid Tommy Hammond, our good friend Tommy, a real compliment. Someone should write a book about Tom Hammond and all of his stories. It would be a bestseller. Thank you guys for bringing him on. Yeah, it would be.
It would be a bestseller. And, the amazing thing about Tom is he never left Lexington. He and Sheila, his wife, their first home was real close to the UK campus, real close to the Ag Center. He mentioned his grandfather was a professor at the Ag Center. And their second home was out Tate's Creek Road. And Tommy grew up in Lexington, went, as he said, to Lafayette High School, went to UK, and never left. And I wonder if he had pulled up stakes. And, I mean, you can't get a bigger career than he had, so I can't imagine it would make any difference. But if he had gone to New York or L.A., with Tom, it was never about him. So many of these sports announcers today, they act like you turned on the TV to listen to them talk. But Tom was so soft-spoken. He knew exactly what to say. He didn't say a lot. But I think, and of course I'm biased because he's a dear friend, but I think one of the best sports announcers that's ever sat behind a microphone. But to this day, he lives in the house, he and Sheila, off Tate's Creek, and he never left the city of Lexington.
That's amazing. Now, the texter did come back. My dad stole this one.
Well, they're out there someplace. For a long time, I only knew where one was. Now I know where two are.
Inspector Clouseau found that for us, right? Hammer and I did the second time. I did three NCAA first round games. I think I may have shared this story with you.
Uh-huh.
And that's when the NCAA was in charge of the first round. There were only 36, I think, at the time. I can't, it wasn't as big as it is now. So Hammer and I were in Cincinnati. Rex Chapman was the senior. Avery Johnson played for Southern. Maryland, I forget who was on. Maryland had a good team and somebody else. And Hammer and I did the games. So the way they worked at the NCAA, just bring the receipts back. That's all. Just send the receipts in. You got your fee, send receipts, we'll send you your expenses. So I think it was after shoot-around. No, I'm sorry. It was after practice the first night. They played the next day. And he said, let's go get something to eat. I said, great. I don't know. We both drove up, so we had cars. He says, let's go to La Maisonette, which is that fine, fine French restaurant right there in Cincinnati. I said, hey, okie dokie. I'm all in. And I figured even if they paid for half of my bill, my thinking is I could eat for half there. It's
right.
A famous place,
yep,
at that time. So we Tommy made the reservations, and we go up there. And, of course, we had a couple beers before dinner. And so then at dinner, prices were ridiculous for then. Supposed to be, 10-star, 20-star, whatever. So how about some wine? And you're grinning because you know where I'm going with this one. So Tommy ordered a bottle of wine. The bottle of wine was like $100 then. This is in the 80s, okay? So we had a little wine with their dinner and then walk back to the hotel. And I'm worrying. I'm worrying about send all this, $120 bottle of wine, and the meal was like $100 too, and send it all back to them. I might not work another NCAA game. Hammer says, the next day he says, give me that bill for the wine. I'm going to take care of it. They won't say anything because he was the old pro, right? And that was my second second trip with him, but it was a lot of fun. He was. I wanted to get into some Al McGuire stories because I got to know Al after he was coaching, and I really appreciated his stories, and I got to know his brother Dickie pretty well too. Scout for the Knicks, probably the best player of the two.
Dickie went in the Hall of Fame as a player. Al went in as a coach.
So that would be some great stories. And harken back to the Knicks and what Randall's done. You go back to 1985 with Bernard King to find somebody that has put together four games scoring at
that kind of scoring run.
30-plus.
Yep.
30-plus. And, I was reading the other day, you got a lot of good things going on in New York. They've been hit hard by the COVID. But they, the New York PD picked up a guy on the subway, which I like riding the subways when I go to New York.
You're kidding.
No. I just get in there and look around, and
I'm with you. I enjoy the subway.
Yeah.
Because I don't do it all the time. So it's like a new experience.
I don't do it late at night either, Crane. You go in the daytime, you feel much safer. And you see all kinds of characters, man.
That's why I have never been on a New York subway.
Well, you would be easily recognized.
Yeah, no. I call a cab. They got 14 cabs every 5 feet. So I'm going cab. I'm not going subway.
Well, what drew my attention, I did 6 months in active duty and then was in the Guard. And so I got to fire everything from my M16 to a bazooka, okay, in training.
That's a scary thought.
It was. But this guy, they picked up on the subway with an AK-47, a backpack full of ammo and gas mask. I mean, what in the world? Oh.
And you feel safe going down there and riding on the subway. an AK-47. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Pretty scary out there now.
Yep, for sure.
I'm trying to – we're efforting the Frank Martin video. Frank Martin. Have we got a cream? Frank Martin, the coach of South Carolina.
Yep.
And your kids have played sports. My kids have played sports. And, you always talk about the parent interference, the effects of the parents and all the little leagues and whatnot. Frank Martin had a press conference, and I thought it was really impressive. This guy is a major college coach. He's been very successful, took a team to the Final Four, and he's talking about coaching your own kids and watching them play in whatever league they are when they're a youth league. And, Crean, let's tee it up.
I know this. I'm the most animated coach that you've probably ever seen when my team's playing. I go watch my kids play. I don't say boo. I don't wave my arms. I don't try to coach my kids. With all due respect to most parents out there, I probably know more about basketball than most of them. Okay? But I sit in the stands and I don't say a word. There's two guys refereeing a fourth grade game on a Sunday morning. What can they possibly be making? $20 a game? I used to do that. I used to make $12 for 10 and under, 15 for 15 and under, and 17 or 18 bucks for high school age kids. Okay? So on Sunday morning, instead of being in church, those guys are out there trying to make a couple bucks to pay their bills, feed their families. Do you think they really care what fourth grade team wins? Do you really think that they sat at home and said, I can't wait to officiate that game tomorrow? Because that one team, I can't wait to get that 10-year-old kid and embarrass him in front of people. Do you really think that's what they're doing? I don't try to tell my kid how they should play. You know what I tell my two boys when they come at me? Why are you asking me, man? I didn't run your practice. Go talk to your coach. But don't talk about your coach in front of me, man. Because if you are, then you're not playing basketball. You don't understand why you didn't play better? Go talk to your coach. I'm not your coach. I'm your dad. Somebody disrespects you, then I'm here. If you fail, good. Deal with it. I'm going to help you get up. But don't come talk to me about coaching. I do this for a living, man. I'm not going to criticize a guy that's trying to help you. And then the other part. So that's the officials. Do you think those coaches coaching fourth grade kids are making any money? So there's someone that's giving of their personal time on a Sunday for free to help others, people's children, yet we're going to have the adults in the stands yelling obscenities at the officials, criticizing every decision the coach makes, yelling at the kids like the kids, they're 10 years old, man. Like if there were LeBron James and Dwayne Wade playing in the NBA Finals, like.
We got a fumble there, Crate, or is that
No,
all we
just
have?
Kind of a rough end of the clip.
Amen. That was cut. That's all I can say to that is amen. And I've always tried to do the same thing with my kids and my grandkids. Just sit there, enjoy the game, watch them. Sometimes they play great. Sometimes they play bad. I still love them. I still hug them afterwards. I think, Mike, what has led to a lot of this is that every parent, I shouldn't say every parent, a lot of parents thinks that their kid is the next superstar. That just because they're a good athlete when they're in elementary school or junior high, do you realize with each level how much better you have to be? I mean, look at the small percentage of high school. Let's use basketball for an example. Look at the small percentage of high school kids that get to play in college. Look at the tiny, tiny percentage of kids that play college basketball that wind up in the NBA. I mean, it's a long, long, long shot. So just because your kid's a little better when he's in junior high, don't think that means he's going to be a professional someday. Let him, as Coach Martin said, let him or her enjoy the game. There's so many things that you can take from athletics. Work ethic, character, being a good sport. Let them take that out, because that's gonna come into play a lot more as they grow into adulthood than is being a professional athlete. Because the chances are, 10 million to one.
Minuscule.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And I would hope that video would be shared by many, many people across this country because of what you said. I mean, Frank Martin hit the nail on the head, man.
100%.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Crean's got a little information for us, doesn't he?
I don't have my glasses on. You can read. I think those are cuts Crean has fixed.
Crean's got, yeah.
Has fixed up for us.
How about
us.
Let's look at B.J. Boston could be a first-round pick by somebody. This was a gentleman that Diener had on in the morning show, right?
Yes, right near the end of the show. His name's Brian Kalbrowski of USA Today. He's an NBA mock draft guy.
He's a mock draft guru.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. And he's going to tell us where B.J. Boston could be, and how he could be a first-round pick. Roll it.
For B.J. Boston, the case is pretty simple as well. It's the top three players coming into the draft. There's value in that in and of itself, especially considering COVID, obviously screwed up so many things for so many people. It was really, really hard for anybody to get a rhythm in life, let alone basketball. Guys develop later. Guys get better at different times. We saw elite flashes from Boston in the past. Denver, the team that I have him mocked to, has selected Michael Porter Jr., Bol Bol, and RJ Hampton over the last 3 years. Realistically, all three of those guys were all top five picks coming into the draft who fell out of the lottery. I guess maybe in Porter's case, he was still 14 or so, but basically out of the top 10. And so for me, that kind of shows the draft philosophy of an organization that values high school productivity. I think even with Emmanuel Quickley, you saw that, right? He didn't have a good freshman year, but he was a good player in high school, good player in the NBA. Sometimes freshman year is just hard. So I think that's kind of where I see Boston still be a first-round pick.
All right, Kareem, before we break that down into a scouting report, he also had some comments about the evaluation process this season. What's been difficult for the pro people? Instead of being hands-on, they've been eyeballs-on with Zoom, right? All right, well, let's...
They're starting to kind of trickle out that information. The first thing that came out was the G League Elite Camp, which is going to be June 19th to June 21st. that was canceled last year, and it's going to be the combine is going to be immediately after both in Chicago. Combine is going to be from June 21st to June 27th. Two years ago, when the G League Elite Camp first took place, it was about 40 players who got that invite, and then I think there are another 40 who got the combine invitation. So it's around top 80 or so, and then you know that ends up really being top 100 because typically we get a lot of people declining, because they're comfortable with where the draft stock is at, and they don't want to go out there. So that's sort of a general timeline of what that's going to look like. But you know, I imagine that you know we're going to start hearing about interviews and workouts and stuff like that, you know, sooner rather than later. It sounds like it's going to be a fairly normal process this year compared to last year, which was anything but.
I'm sure that this man plays much more attention to the lottery and college players and stuff like that than I do. But to compare Porter, who plays for the Nuggets, with Boston, that's off the wall. I mean, Porter didn't get to play in college because he was hurt. He had some physical ailments. I think he played one game, didn't he, with Missouri? Maybe three.
Yep.
Anyway, but they knew he could play. He dropped because of his physical condition. And again, I don't know what's available out there, but I will be shocked if Boston is a first-round pick because, the games that he played this year at UK demonstrated that, you know, he's got a long way to go. There's a lot of things he has to learn about the game of basketball. And so that comparison, I don't think, really holds water.
And I mentioned R.J. Hampton. He's been able to hang on this year. I haven't followed his career since he was drafted, but he was thought to be a really highly skilled player. In Bol Bol,
he was another guy that got hurt.
Hampton got hurt?
No, not Hampton. Bol Bol in college got
right,
hurt at Oregon.
Right, he was at Oregon.
Yeah, he dropped from the lottery all the way to, like, I think they took him like 44, 45, 46.
Which I think is good. He's 7'2" or something. Take a guy like that in the second round, develop him, stick him in the G League, bring him up, bring him down, work with him over the summer. You've got him on a reasonable contract, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, for that world. If any contract in the NBA is reasonable, I guess comparatively, yes, it's reasonable.
So I just didn't see any one skill that Boston had that translated to the NBA for me.
The only thing that makes any sense at all was that, you know, he came in with that reputation that he was going to be a lottery pick or certainly a first-round pick. But I didn't see him do anything at Kentucky that would keep him in that position.
Draft him in his second round and put him in. This G League has produced a lot of people over time.
Yep.
Okay, I mean, the guys have gone down for a year or two, whatever, and they resurface in the NBA. There's 15 roster spots per team, correct?
Correct.
Plus three two-ways.
Mm-hmm.
You got 18 spots. Basically,
yeah,
that you can fill on 30 teams. So you're going to need some players, okay? And so a guy goes to the G League, if he really works at his craft, he's got a chance to move up. And look, not to all-star status, maybe not even to your rotation, which is usually 7, maybe 8, correct?
Right.
So maybe not even then, but you could find a spot on the bench making over $1 million from 9 through 15.
There have been a lot of guys that have made a great living because, number one, they worked hard in practice. Number two, they had a great attitude, and they were willing they recognized that they weren't good enough to be in the rotation. They sat at the end of the bench, kept their mouth shut, and made an awful lot of money.
Yeah, and we've got a cut on this gentleman, Brian Kalbrowski. His thoughts on David Johnson, who I think would be a second-round pick, would be good for him and good for the team that got him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that David Johnson is somebody who is able to make a contribution in several different ways. I think he's, you know, an above average playmaker. But with the addition of Carly Jones last season, we saw that he was able to handle himself playing off ball as well, which I think actually did show a lot of teams a decent amount of information about him that was important to have. I think that his jump shot has gotten a lot better year over year. He was somebody who I thought had a pretty good breakout freshman campaign while a limited sample size. And I think that he's also somebody who's got, you know, pretty good size and length for his position. I think, you know, he's a genuinely good combo guard. And I think that he didn't quite take the leap that I maybe expected him to have year over year, but I do think that he was held back in a lot of ways because of COVID. I think Louisville in general was hit pretty hard from that. It was pretty hard for the team and the program to get into much of a rhythm. I think that obviously he was impacted by that. And I think that, you know, if we had a normal season, David Johnson could have even been a little bit higher on this list. But I think that at 32, he's a pretty good value and somebody who I think could definitely be a rotational guard sooner than later.
Well, there you go. Yes, there you go, Craig.
There you go.
That's a second rounder. He gets everybody, checks all the boxes.
Absolutely.
All right, we need to take a break, and we will come back. Sports Talk, Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, 680. 1057 ESPN Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Daddy's belt, Mama's drapes, standing tall in the backyard shed looking cool in my Superman cape. I told the neighborhood girl, said, hey, y'all, watch this. My fate was a broken arm and my reward, one big kiss. When Daddy asked.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Scars healed and glory fade. That's it. Now we got that kind of music on there. Country and Western. Welcome back, everybody. Last half hour of the Sports Talk Show with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, ESPN Louisville. And I could just listen to that music for a half hour.
Well, here's a guy, Kareem, that missed the show last night. Now, he taped it. Because he doesn't want to hear somebody tell him to buy a Ford.
I'll be able to talk about it tomorrow after I watch the tape.
There's some nice performances.
Yeah. I think I saw where there's 25 live performances, and
there were a bunch. How about that young lady from Perryville, Alyssa Ray? Is that how you say her name? Alyssa.
And I am the wrong person to ask for help on that one.
She can sing now. Yep. She's from Perryville, Kentucky. Went to Northern Kentucky State University this year. She's like 19 years old. Man, she can sing. And she made the cut last night. She made the cut from 12 to 9. She's still alive.
You're talking about
American Idol.
Yeah. And Luke Bryan has COVID.
But he's back.
Is he back now?
He's back last night. I believe he
All
was.
Right.
Yeah,
all right.
So, as you were involved and are involved with trying to bring a team here to Kentucky, I know we talked a little bit about gambling and where it sets in the future of the NBA, all sports. And then I found an article today. I got to pull it up here, Dan, I sent you a copy about the New Jersey border towns surpass Las Vegas as sports gambling hotspot. You go across the George Washington Bridge to Jersey.
From the Upper East Side of New York City.
You hit Fort Lee, New Jersey. And I guess it's going nuts there. It's like they were saying that the border town is 40,000 people, and they're going to have 2,000 people a day come over from New York or someplace. Because New York passed legalized gambling, have not made it official. So how does the NBA see that or see this, the gambling, sports gambling? Will they allow it in their own arenas? That if the FanDuel or whoever it is, sure, they're getting a piece of that action.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And that's why you can talk about this whole gambling situation. I have a dear friend, Bob Russell, who of course started Southeast Christian Church here in Louisville and is retired now. And Bob and I have this discussion at least once a year. And of course, you know, he's against gambling. And if it becomes addictive, I can certainly see that. But my argument has always been, and Bob's a big golfer, and so my argument has always been, Bob, what's the difference between me taking $100 to Churchill and betting on horses, or you taking $100 to the golf course and playing a round of golf? And Bob has never been able to give me a good answer, except for the fact that gambling can lead to an addiction with some people. And of course, you've got people that are, you know, betting on horse races instead of paying their rent or buying their kids food. I get that. But having said that, it's going to happen. I mean, you can drive right across the bridge and do it here in southern Indiana. So people are going to do it. And the NBA, that's been the NBA's position, said people are going to bet on NBA games, and we're going to keep it clean. You know, they have so many checks and balances as far as gamblers getting to players and to coaches and to referees. They're going to keep it clean, but they know that people are going to bet on the game, and they want their cut. And it's just that simple. And so I don't see why everybody doesn't legalize it. Yes, to answer your question, the day will come, and it's coming real soon, where in the states where it's legal, there'll be a kiosk in the concourse. If you have an account with FanDuel or any of those other wagering platforms, you'll be able to go up and bet on the game before you buy your hot dog and beer and go sit down.
I know on the MLB side of things, the Cubs and Wrigley Field have already announced that they're going to build a sports book inside of Wrigley Field.
Wow. Huh. There you go. You Cubby fans.
When that happens, I'll be betting against.
You and me both, unfortunately. you just every day, Dave, I don't bet baseball if I did, but every day I think a fun bet, or it's annoying bet, would be just betting the Cubs team total under.
Yeah.
Every day.
There you go.
Well, here's a quote from the spokesperson for FanDuel. What we also are seeing consistently is that East Rutherford, the Meadowlands, has become the number one sports book on the East Coast in terms of the number of bets and other things that come from that. It is bigger than anything in Las Vegas on a daily basis. Mm.
Yeah, and I forget who, is it FanDuel that opened? I believe it's FanDuel. They opened that in the Meadowlands racetrack. The Meadowlands is a harness racetrack that races almost year-round. And they, in that racetrack, they opened up that facility. And it's been open, I'm going to say, almost a year now. And remember, this is during COVID. So imagine how many people will be showing up there when they can freely move about the New York City.
And this article, it leads you into that. He said 25% of our customer base are New Yorkers, and 50% of our daily handle comes from the Meadowlands, where you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, it goes on to say that this phenomenon has a lot to, very similar to what happened in Pennsylvania before they legalized sports gambling.
Yep.
Okay, so here we sit in Kentucky, and we're surrounded by states that allow you to gamble on sports. And the money, the people, they're New Yorkers, but they're Kentuckians here. They go across the river. They go across the northern Kentucky River, and they make the plays.
Yep.
And they leave the money there, or they take some back if they're so lucky, right?
Well, my father-in-law, while he was still able to drive, at least once a week would go up through Frankfort, up to the Ohio River, go to Belterra, and play the slots, have a set amount that he was comfortable losing. And when you went in the parking lot, you know, half the cars in the parking lot had Kentucky license. So now, at least we have the gambling machines in the racetracks here in Kentucky, and the purses have just skyrocketed because of it. The Derby City, how long's Derby City been open? A couple of years, 3 years? The maiden races, Derby Week, in a week, the maiden races are going to be, the purses are going to be over $100,000. And so, you know, and you say, well, you know, that's great for Churchill. Well, but it trickles down. And there's a huge population in the state of Kentucky that makes their living from the thoroughbred industry. And so if the owners are making more money, they're going to buy more horses, and people are going to sell more feed, and you're going to hire more people to take care of those horses. And so again, I understand the religious aspect of it. Gambling is not something you should do if you can't afford it. But if it's going to happen, if people are going to drive across the bridge to do it, why not do it right here and take advantage of that money yourself?
Up in Jersey, they have all kinds, besides the straight bets, the over, the under, the straight, you know, I'm going to take five and I'll give you the Knicks or whatever it may be. They have, like, defensive player of the year, offensive player of the year, MVP.
Features.
Pardon me?
Future bets.
Yes. Yeah. It, most improved player. So when the season started as a future bet, Julius Randle, who we were talking about earlier, you could have got him at 65-1 on a future bet back when the season started.
To do what?
To be the most improved player.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you're sitting on 65-1. Let's just say you bought that ticket. It's dropped probably. But if you bought that ticket early when the season started, 65, the kid's, I think, definitely going to win it. I mean, with the numbers he's putting up, most improved, probably, would you think?
I would think so.
Okay.
I would think so. So did you bet him at 65-1?
No, I got him at 30-1.
No, you instead.
Hey, 30-1 is still pretty good.
Yeah.
Instead, you bet Swiss Skydiver to win the Apple Blossom.
I did. Absolutely, I did. Absolutely, I did. How about my Reds now, man? They still hanging in there. Your boys are struggling, but
being kind.
But. Hitting always comes later when it warms up. Pitchers own the first month and a half.
I know, but that's what I'm so worried about. The guy that's supposed to be the ace of our staff gives up 6 runs in the first inning yesterday, 4 home runs. And we don't have everybody in the world, not everybody in the world, that's an exaggeration. A lot of guys are throwing the ball 95, 96, 97. I've got a grandson who can throw at 92. He's 18 years old. He can throw at 92. We've got 3 starting pitchers with the Cubs that can't break 90. Well, Arrieta can break it on occasion.
I would say
he used to be able
but,
to.
Yeah, he used to be able to. I don't know if he can anymore. But Hendricks' fastball is 89 miles an hour. Zach Davies that we got from
Milwaukee
in the Hugh Darvish trade, he can't hit 90 miles an hour. So how can you win any games when guys are throwing the ball 96, 97 miles an hour? And they've got great command. They got great change-ups. But I don't know. I'm depressed.
So is Cream. He's a Cubby fan, too.
I'm depressed.
Did you see where Jay Bruce finally retired, the former Red Leg?
He retired about 4 years ago.
Well, yeah, he kind of kicked around. But, man, he had some great days
in
Cincinnati.
With the Reds. Yeah, absolutely.
He was special.
Absolutely. But you know what? The baseball, you know, we've talked about other sports having hard caps and salary caps. There's no cap in baseball. And that allows the rich to get richer. And that's why I'm discouraged with the Cubs, because they've got a big market. They started their own television network, marquee network.
And they don't spend anything.
They're building hotels next to Wrigley Field. And they own the rooftops. They bought all the rooftops across the street. And they don't spend any money. You look at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Ooh. I mean,
they spent some cash.
We're all playing. Believe me, we're all playing for second place. Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers. You know, you look at their starting lineup, and if they have a player go down, or they have somebody who's underperforming, they just go out and get another one. And so, I think the Dodgers are far and away the best baseball team. Yeah,
the Dodgers are 13-3 right now, and arguably their best player, Cody Bellinger, who won the NL MVP a couple of years ago, has played in two games. And they're 13-3.
You know, the Dodgers used to be known as building their team from their minor leagues. And I haven't tracked how they build.
They do that, and then they still do that, but now they add a bunch of free agents on top of it.
Kareem, did they trade for Price, or did they?
Yeah, they got Price in the Mookie Betts trade,
and he can't make the starting five,
and they're giving him $300 million.
Not one of the five.
Yeah, it was the I think it's actually it was something like $160 million.
Okay.
And he's not one of their can't make the top five starting pitchers. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, they took the Reds. They got the Reds ace last year. Bauer, yeah. And he's playing really well out there. He's a heck of a pitcher. But that's where the money was. I mean, the Reds just knew they couldn't match that or wouldn't match that, whatever. And he went out there to L.A. He's doing great. But they've been known historically to build through the minors. I guess now, as Kareem says, they're unbuckling on some free agents. And you might be right. When the Yankees are struggling with their payroll and they're struggling, Tampa Bay's, they're playing well, playing really well.
And which the Dodgers have done the minor league thing also. I mean, one of their best examples is actually a Louisville native. Will Smith is their starting catcher. Another guy, Dustin May, is the guy that beat out David Price for that fifth starting spot, are both minor league guys. Bruce Starkadderall is one of their better bullpen guys, was a minor league guy. So they're bringing up talent from the minors and then also signing big pieces. It's just not fair. You shouldn't be able to do both of those things that well, yet they do.
That's a parting shot.
And it's not like nobody wants to go play in L.A. either.
Oh, wow. Yeah, tell me about
it. When they have free agents, you know, they're on the top of everybody's free agent list.
Yeah, you might have a hard time playing and living in L.A. at $125,000, what it costs to live out there. But if you're making $30 million or whatever the number is, not having any shortfall in cash.
No, even if it takes 5 hours to go 2 miles.
Well, that's... Sign me up. I'll take the 130 and I'll take the 2 hours, right, in a car. But, how about our guy, Bam Adebayo?
Yeah, what about that shot?
That shot he hit and the way he's been playing. Now, he struggled a little bit. I don't know whether it was the injury. I can't remember. But, boy, he hit a game winner. And we talked about game winners last week, how many different people have. And the big guy went block to block. He showed us in practice. We watched him, and I told some scouting friends of mine that, you know, he can go to the elbow. Just out of that offense, there wasn't room for him to go to the elbow because they had other people on the perimeter. And I watched him in practice hit the short corner shot. So, but now this kid, you know, he's shooting three-pointers.
Yeah. No, it's amazing how and it just shows that the one-and-done kids or two-and-done that Cal is recruiting. I mean, they've got the talent, but You know, I don't know that they have the time to develop into the players they're going to be if they're only staying at school for a year or two. But just look around the league. Look at all the players that have come out of Kentucky and the contributions they're making. Booker's going nuts in Phoenix. And I see
Lurie was too at Denver.
Yeah, and I see Anthony Davis, who only missed 2 months with a strained calf muscle. is about now it wasn't a torn calf muscle, it wasn't a broken bone, it took him 2 months to come back from a strained calf. But you know, who am I to judge? I'm not a doctor.
Hey, that's LA. They have actors, they have actresses, you know, they're kind of special people, kind of spoiled in a way. Now you got a ton of really good athletes out there, and they kind of go in that mode.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, the Lakers better be careful, because I mean they're teetering. I know they've got a great team, but they're teetering on having to go to those play-in games if they don't get their act together pretty soon.
There's probably only 18 to 20 games left for most teams.
Yeah.
So you better make, if you're going to make a rush. That's why if you follow Dallas now, they're trying to make that push to move out of that play-in spot and into the last playoff spot. And that guy can play, the kid Doncic.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's something. But you notice that Mark Cuban thought those play-in games was a great idea till his team is going to be one of them. Now he thinks it's an enormous mistake.
Well, I looked up last night watching the tail end of that ball game, and there was Cuban. He disagreed with the call, and, of course, he had his jeans and his T-shirt, which you think, and you've stated the fact that that's, you know, that's how owners ought to be dressed. And last thing we're going to leave everybody with, the withdrawal date for college players to come out of the draft.
The NBA draft.
July 19th.
So you can go to the combine and participate as long as you don't hire an agent.
Correct.
You can go and kind of see where you fit and go back to school. Well, I hope most of them need to make the right decision, which is to go back to school. So.
And we will leave it at that, the Monday edition of Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. We'll be back Tuesday. Got a great lineup of guests, Dan, and we hope we see everybody tomorrow.
Have a great day, everybody.
BetRivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.